this is the title, Michael, and I'm sorry for upsetting the word in the photos. So I should change it for Nana or whatever. The work is done, character part of it was done with my friend and collaborator, Sasha Julian. So it's almost the end of the conference, so everybody starts. So I decided to give you two phrases which you may want to remember after this talk. And the rest is explanation what is this, what it is here. So there are two ideas. I think that it's two new effects, but I'm not 100% sure about it. So first is a statement that any microscopic or nano conductor, any properties, transport as well as thermodynamics, exhibit oscillations as a function of temperature. So, and I don't know any other effect where conductance, for example, is oscillation function of temperature, period, by the way, is a product of temperature itself. And that's why I'm interested in this. Another piece of information which I'd like to discuss is the following, that usually in aspects of metals, for example, the main effect can be described in the approximation when electrons don't interact. Examples, conductors, you can write with a formula, it will be all right. So there are corrections, sometimes important because they determine the small temperature dependencies. But main contribution comes from the non-interacting picture. So I'm going to speak about some effect, which is a current which is proportional, quadratic in voltage and proportional to magnetic field, actually goes in direction of magnetic field. In existence, I will argue that the existence of this current is entirely due to the interaction. So it is a measure of interaction of strength of interaction. So now when I today, I looked at my talk, I realized that first several slides are completely trivial. So I apologize for it. I think that I should say something about it, but if you find it, somebody will find it boring, let me know, I will skip it. I'm going to speak about diffusive conductor. This size is much larger than the elastic nuclear path. In elastic nuclear passes is much larger than by length, but the same consideration can be applied to ballistic quantum dots, which people do. And that's the object I'm going to speak about. So electrons sensitive from the leads, from right and from the left of the contact, scatter and fuse. This is typical path drawn in yellow. And the question is, what is the conductance? At zero temperature. It's all question. Now, if you average over microscopic fluctuations, you will find out that the electrons diffuse, and in zero approximation, diffusion equation works. D is the diffusion coefficient, G is the current, Gm over Dr is the gradient of density, or you can also derive through the formula and check in this approximation, is this approximation in Einstein relation work. Works. Now, this is a kind of cartoon picture, a combined picture to explain origin of microscopic fluctuations, which are due to interference effects. So these green and blue lines are diffusion paths. So probability is the sum over all amplitudes. And the A, alpha, is the amplitude of probability which corresponds to a particular quasi-classical path, which is a particular diffusion path. And I have to sum all of them, my model is squared, and we do proportional probability, and then I have to connect probability with conductance, and that's how it works. In the final average, it, by the way, amplitude of probabilities have a random phase, and the reason for this is that the length of diffusion is much larger than by length. So when I will average all of this, only pairs of products of A times A dagger corresponding to the same pathway. So life after averaging, and that's given the probabilities, and that's the basis for classical kinetic theory. Now, if you go beyond classical kinetic theory, for example, if you want to figure out what the amplitude of fluctuations, between samples, for example, for a magnetic field, you have to make square of probabilities, and if you do this, you have to multiply four amplitudes. So better to say two amplitudes and two complex conjugated of them. So you have choices. First, you can pair them. I mean, the only product of two, so white have pair averaging, because phases are random. So there is a part of this which is product of two probabilities, and there is a part of it which is of interference nature, and this gives rise to stochastic fluctuations. Now, if I'm interested not in total current, and I'm going to be interested not in total current, but for example, in current density, this procedure shows to me that if I will pair these passes in different ways, results will be long range. The reason for this is shown here. You see that I can interconnect these passes at some point, and these two blocks are basically probabilities to go between this and this point. It's product of amplitudes. So, and probability is basically a Green function of diffusion equation, which is long range, which is one over three dimensions and logarithm two dimensions, logarithm dimensions. That's the reason why local currents in conductors are long range correlated. But it's all the single particle picture here. Now, enumeration, I have to sum over all these particles, and it's easier to say than to do. So there is also, I don't like, diagram technique, but there is nothing better. And the reason for this is this quasi-classical picture to say about this is non-developed. Basically, historically, there are some attempts to reproduce all results in endoscopic and quasi-classics. But the historical fact is that these attempts have been done only after diagram technique gave a result. And I don't know any reverse sequence of events. And the same thing is here. So to calculate the relation function of currents, which was done, by the way, I think 20 years ago, you have to sum up this amplitude, these two bubbles, the dashed lines correspond to impurity scattering, solid lines correspond to Green functions, directed fields are here, currents are there, and you have to calculate. This diagram technique, by the way, is used white noise approximation for scattering potential. And when you do it, you figure out that A, local currents and local densities are long-range correlated. It means that if you apply electric field, it will create local currents and local densities inside conductors, and correlations decay 1 over R to some power. Now, if you integrate this local currents density around cross-section, you will have fluctuations of total current, and as a result, you will have a result which was obtained by Patrick Lee and Stone and by Schuller long ago, that conductance fluctuations are universal and it can be expressed only in the charge of electron and H. So conductance fluctuations are proportional, roughly speaking, a quarter of E square over H. Now, this is, I think that there are two more trivial slides to go. These are characteristic lengths of the problem. These lengths are associated with the fact, so if I think about interference, I have to, and I change something, say I change impurity configuration, or I change temperature, or energy, or something. So phases which the diffusion paths acquire change. And so I'm interested in characteristic value of the parameters when this change of these phases is ordered by. So if I apply magnetic field, the phase, characteristic phase changes on the length, the order of many of magnetic lengths. If I change temperature, then if I consider two electrons which go along the same path but with different energies, with then difference of order kT, I will have lengths on which these two paths will require phase pi, which is of order of square root of d over the temperature, which is called the constant of normal metal. If I have some inelastic scattering, then this phi is changed on the L phi length, which is inelastic length. Okay, now, how much should I change external parameters to change conductance by E square over H? It's also known, and machinery is more or less the same. So, for example, if I change chemical potential, energy changes, and I have to calculate the length where the phase of amplitude of scattering changes by factor of 4 to 5. It's the same as magnetic field. Now, if you have moving duties, again, I have to do the same thing. And this was done, all of this was done 20 years ago. With impurities, this result I will use in the future, so I'd like to remind you how to get it. So you have to imagine this path as a sausage with a cross-section of order of wavelengths. And the length of the path is diffusion length, which is the sample size squared divided by the path times wavelength squared. It will be a volume of the sausage and the ratio between volume of this volume of sample and volume of the sausage will give you number of impurities which you have to move. And since in two dimensions, these two quantities scale as a sample size squared, one impurity, motion of one impurity will change conductance by the amount which is independent of sample size. So the message here is that these conductance fluctuations are enormously sensitive to change of any external potential. Okay, now this is last from the past. This is the past. This is an experiment of Richard Webb, done I think also 20 years ago, which illustrated these ideas. He got a sample, a stochastic sample, metallic sample, applied magnetic field, and he saw the stochastic fluctuations of conductance as a function of magnetic field, and period of oscillations corresponds to flux into the area of the sample. So this is all, old stuff. Okay, this is a new stuff, so we can wake up. So this is done by substances in me theoretically, and the experiment is called this experiment. So this is a claim. The claim is that if you measure temperature dependence of conductance, if you have this form, namely, it will decay, of course, it will decay because different energies. Electrons with different energies contribute differently in fluctuations and they in different different contributions cancel each other, but it will also oscillate. Now, oscillations have a period of order of temperature itself. This is correct both for high temperatures and for low temperatures. So lower temperatures, smaller repeating. I will speak about this later. Now, this is one of our results. Now, how to prove it? Proof in literal sense is the following. As I said, you cannot do nothing but calculating diagrams. But you can calculate any diagrams you want. You cannot calculate anything about a particular sample, but you can calculate any average you want. So there are two calculations, very simple, in contemporary standards. One is you calculate fluctuations of conductance squared average. This calculation was done 20 years ago, and it showed that this value is decreasing in inverse proportional to temperature, say, in three dimensions. In two dimensions, power is different, but voltage is the same. Now, recent calculation also two lines is the following. You may calculate the following correlation function, delta G of T times delta G of T prime, or T prime at different temperature, and put T much larger than T prime. You will find out that this quantity also decays as one log T. So now I give you three ingredients. So this quantity, this is a G of T arbitrary function. It decays as 1 over T. This quantity decays also as 1 over T, and also you can prove that fluctuations of conductance is a Gaussian. Try to hook up any curve which obeys these three requirements and don't oscillate. So this is the proof. This is my proof. Another thing is the following. I think that from here you also deduce the fact that period of oscillations is of order of temperature itself. It has good and bad sides. First of all, it means that number of oscillations, practically speaking, is logarithmical in interval of temperature which you measure. But there is also good side, which is in my opinion, which I'm not sure about it, that when you go to very small temperatures, though amplitude of oscillation decreases, period also decreases. It is still a part of temperature. And you, this, I don't have, probably don't have time to discuss it in the details, but I would like to say the following about it, that as I said, one has to sum up diffusion trajectories. It's easier to say than to do. And if you don't know very well how to do it, you basically miss the fact. In particular, this part of the diagram has to do with electron trajectories which go very far away from the sample in the regions where there is no electric field at all on the distance of order of LT. And LT in this region is much larger than sample size. And as a result of this, the amplitude of fluctuations increases with temperature, the derivative of dg over dt diverges in this approximation as temperature goes to zero. Now, this is actually, I think, a strong statement. So we try to find any process which cut off this divergence. And I have no idea what makes this cut off, what stops it. If you think about phonons or any other, by the way, first place, my amateur suggestion for experimenters to use this effect is a thermometer, because it's really period, which equals to temperature, small temperatures. And as far as I understand, it is a very big problem for experimenters to measure temperature, small temperatures. But secondly, if you think about what happens when temperature goes to zero, you find out that alpha is almost always much larger than LT. It means that no matter how small temperature is, neither electron-electron nor electron-phonon scatterings are relevant. So it will stay like this. So if you think about impurities, it depends on the model, but they freeze either due to quantum effect or due to Rudermann-Skipper interaction. As a result of this, they're also not effective, at least theoretically, in a symmetrical sense. If you think about nuclear spins, they provide some interference and provide cutoff to them. But the relaxation time could be hours, and if you measure on times more than this, again, we'll see this installation.
Oh, sorry, a very naive question.
What's your time?
If all temperature dependent lengths are much larger than the sample size, how does the physics know about temperature?
Because, okay, this is a picture. This is the scent. It's everywhere. So it's basically, you have to think about what happens here. So this, it depends what you mean by size. So I take two-dimensional sample, I cut it like this, and you know, the current goes everywhere.
You mean the leads?
Yeah, the leads, yes.
So it's really an effect of the leads.
You can make, put it this way. Electric field is concentrated here, but
the field is
not. Okay. Now, this is an experiment of David Cobden. I would like to say a couple of words about this origin of the experiment that hasn't been done for purpose. And I'm more or less sure that at least two or three people in this conference having their computer the same data. The point is, was very basic for me, that people never measure temperature dependence of endoscopic fluctuations. What they did measure is oscillations as a function of temperature at different temperatures. And replotting this was actually very easy, but you cannot do it just by looking at a publication. And so he was the first person who did it. And you see that there are oscillations, but since it was done for purpose, there was no, I don't know whether this oscillations of small temperatures exist in his, experiment. Now, this is a comment about oscillations as a function of magnetic field. It's the same thing, that it is common knowledge that period of oscillations is corresponds to magnetic field in flux to the area of the sample. But I don't think that it is common knowledge that at small temperatures, situation is more or less the same, and the derivative of the conductance over the magnetic field should diverge at small temperatures. And again, I think that this is the best measure of, I don't know, noise in the room. So because noise in the room will cut the top. So if you don't see it, be sure that there are processes which contribute to it. Now, to complete it, my claim is that such a phenomenon, which I told about in English, oscillations of constant temperature, you can find in any transport property as well as in any thermodynamic property. For example, if you consider Rudermann-Kittel interaction between two spins, you will find out that this Rudermann-Kittel interaction also oscillates as a function of temperature, and will exhibit roughly speaking the same. This is the second effect which I would like to mention to you. It's the following. So first place, let me start with reminding you that conductance should be even function of age. It's a Anzeiger theorem, which is based on very general principles on entropy production, positive number of the entropy production in time reversibility. Now, to prove it, it's not entirely trivial to prove it, you know, diagrammatically. So you have to solve some diagrams, and not one, but two, and cancel them. The point is that if you do it, you will find out that, yes, total current is induced by electric field and is even function of H. However, local currents and local densities are contain odd components. So, the question is, what about nonlinear currents? There are no theorems which forbid some odd contribution to current, or in magnetic field contribution to current. In particular, I'm interested in this current which is proportional to voltage squared in magnetic field. And the question is why I'm interested in this particular contribution. My claim is that this contribution is allowed by symmetry. So H is polar vector, current is axial vector. So to have it, you have to have systems without the reflection symmetry. Reflection symmetry. However, even if it is the case, you can check using Landau formula or a diagrammatic or many other in any other ways that the current will be zero. So the only non-zero contribution to current is proportional to interaction, electron-electron interaction constant. And this is the reason why I'm interested, because it's alpha proportional to interaction constant. Measuring it, you measure interaction constant. So this is a cartoon picture how it works. You apply electric field, and you will look at fluctuations, local fluctuations of density, which are linear in electric field and also linear in magnetic field. It is allowed by symmetry. Then you multiply this fluctuations of density by interaction constant. This is hard to approximation. You can do better, but nevertheless, you will have fluctuations of potential. Now, I mentioned to you that conductance is very sensitive to change of potential. So then you multiply it another time by voltage, and you have this V squared times H times some function. But you also have something which is proportional to interaction constant. And this current has not been observed before. I don't know why, again. So this is a proof that I did some algebra and calculate diagrams. This is the experiments by David Cobden in carbon nanotubes. And you can compare magnetic field dependence of linear conductance, which is perfectly symmetric, and nonlinear part, which is perfectly asymmetric. This is the experiment of Charlie Marcus, done on the same subject, but by me. Actually, I was inspired, so I so this is experiment from Charlie Marcus, done. He was looking at the same effect, however, the different object. This is gallium arsenide by quantum dots, and you see that again, conductance is symmetrical and nonlinear part is asymmetrical. And there are several other groups. Anyway, there are several other groups which do it. Since I have a couple of minutes more, I'd like to comment on the status of this effect. First place, it is low temperature effect. Namely, as you increase temperature, there are several other contributions which haven't been observed here in this experiment. Let me just count this contribution. So first place, it can in carbon nanotubes, which are chiral objects, band structure like this in magnetic field. And as a result of this, there is a classical contribution which you can calculate in the framework of Boltzmann kinetic equation, which is the plot. It's very simple. You apply electric field, and you heat electrons, and then they relax. And since this branches of spectrum in carbon nanotubes go in the presence of magnetic field go in different directions, there is a symmetry, and this branch, electrons on these branches have relaxation times which are not equal to each other. As a result, these electrons cool down, these electrons don't. As a result, there is a current. But this is a very high temperature regime which has now been observed. Now, in between of regime which I mentioned and this regime, there is another regime. And by the way, if you start with completely isotropic metal and disorderly, you see that in the scopic regime, all effects is due to lack of symmetry. High temperatures in framework of kinetic equation, the problem is symmetrical, reflection is symmetrical. So the point is that there is intermediate mechanism which is kind of tricky. But since it's intermediate, maybe it's not that interesting, so I will say literally a couple of words about it. That when electrons emit phonons, center of mass of wave functions move. And so if you work with this properly, you will find out that there is an analogy of this, even in the scope of classical gasmotor physics. And finally, I would like to say that of course, this effect, which is current, which is proportional to voltage squared in magnetic field, hasn't been observed. But there is a huge literature in optics about photovoltaic effects, where people was interested in three-dimensional crystalline samples and asked the question whether it's possible to have a current induced by optical illumination. And this current shouldn't be proportional to wavelengths of the light. So there is no transport momentum. My answer is yes, in the crystals without center of symmetry. And to illustrate here, you can think about the following, that in this phase diagram, if you shine a light, these transitions can be allowed, and these are not, and as a result, you will break a car. And this is my conclusion. So about this, these are two I was speaking about this. There is a question. So if I play this game with inducing the electron density by active field and then electrons scattered by this induced electron density, so how many solutions does this problem have? And the answer is that practically high temperature one, which I was speaking about. But theoretically, at very small temperature, number of solutions increases exponentially, the sample size. And those who are interested, I will be happy to speak about this. So on the theoretical side, it's a very interesting problem, which has a lot to do with spin glass. And thank you very much for your attention.
Do we have time for one or two quick questions? of oscillations as a function of temperature, this period, given by the temperature. Do you mean to have something a bit bigger, namely that there is a correlation?
No, I think that's wrong. I use the wrong word. It's a random oscillation.
And it's a correlation for
length. It goes up and down with characteristic period of order of temperature. However,
or period or correlation length somehow. I mean that the data are correlated.
I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. It's the same as anything in the scope. You call it period, but it is not exact period. The characteristic length interval. However, I must say the following, that it is because impurities are randomly distributed. Now, if you look at Hofstadter problem, for example, and you ask whether sigma xy is a oscillating function of temperature, answer is yes, and then this period is not a random function. And the real question, of course, is it possible to put impurities in particular place in such a way that it will be periodic function? I don't know this answer. But yes, I agree that it's a local language. It's the same sense in which in microscopics people say that it is a period. It is not a perfect period.
But can I explain for us again?